doctrine is dead, that the Senate said, we will not bring it back. And the knuckle-draggers, the mouth-breathers, people that aren't paying attention will say, well, there you go. You right-wingers, you crazy conservatives, you were worried for nothing. There was no reason to sweat it. Look at that. Democrat-led Senate said no to the Fairness Doctrine. Not true. The true headline is at michaelsavage.com, and you need to read up on this. This fight has just begun, and you heard what Dick Durbin said. This is very, very key. The government can and intends to ask that the airwaves be used in the public interest. Now, in the public interest can mean a lot of things. What do you suppose it means to Dick Durbin and the Democrats? Here's what happened today, in short. Washington, D.C., there was a Senate bill proposed, I believe, by Joe Lieberman today. A Senate bill proposed to give Washington, D.C. representative voting rights in Congress, and I believe an extra House seat in Utah. And then tucked away as amendments in this bill, and for the life of me, I'll never understand. This is why government gets corrupt. This is how you have a corrupt government. We're talking about constitutional freedoms of speech being tucked away in some stupid bill about Washington, D.C.'s voting rights. Is that where this belongs? Why is this not its own bill? That's my first question. But instead, they're stupid little floor amendments on the Senate. Not important. Jim DeMint, South Carolina, stands up, attaches an amendment to this District of Columbia voting representative bill. He says, I don't want to see the Fairness Doctrine come back. I'd like this amendment in this bill. I'd like everyone to cast a vote to say no to the Fairness Doctrine coming back. Well, it passes by a wide margin. That's what the news story says today. By a wide margin. Everyone in the Senate but 11 said, sure, we'll keep the Fairness Doctrine from coming back. You bet. And I know exactly what people will read in. All that will be reported is the Fairness Doctrine is no more. 87 to 11. Well, look at that. Majority rule in the Senate. Everybody has shot the Fairness Doctrine down. So you talk radio crazies, you don't have anything to sweat anymore. Mm-mm. Careful. There was also another amendment tucked into the same bill today. That amendment was just what you heard little Dickie Durbin say. In fact, could I hear that clip again? This clip is important. This is actually what passed today in this bill. While, yes, technically, the terminology Fairness Doctrine, as dictated by the FCC, was banned by the Senate today, this was also widely supported by the Senate today. Dick Durbin.
The public airwaves truly are the property of the American people. And we say to broadcasters that in return for a license to use those airwaves, your government is going to ask that you use them in the public interest.
So what does that mean, the public interest? Who gets to dictate that? In fact, the language of this amendment makes it very clear that they intend to seek minority ownership. It's written in a very innocuous way, very vague. But as somebody that's been in the broadcasting business, and certainly Michael can see through this, if they can't get it done through the Federal Communications Commission, they'll go station by station. You've seen this happen. You've probably heard of this happening in your own local station. If you're listening to the Savage Nation on your favorite local talk station right now, I'll bet you money you've had some activist group threaten the content of the programming on your favorite radio station. I'll bet you it's happened. Well, this Durbin Amendment today is exactly what that's designed to do. These people will now use Acorn or CARE or others to protest every talk radio station in the country now. How? At a local level. What this did effectively today was embolden and embrace what Barack Obama is all about, what he rose to power doing, agitating, community organizing, community activists. You're going to see more and more and more. community agitators on a local level protesting your local radio station because of this little amendment today. Should it make it through that? There's a long way to go. The point is, these little agenda amendments got tucked in to a bill about D.C.'s voting rights today. One of the most basic freedoms our country enjoys gets tucked away as some ancillary little... And the thing is, the Durbin Amendment passes now before they ban the Fairness Doctrine. So here's what Democrats did today. In total, Democrats voted for the Durbin Amendment, which effectively means now the Fairness Doctrine is not called the Fairness Doctrine, but make no mistake, that's exactly what it is. They then were able to turn around and also vote for the Dement Amendment, and they will smile that Cheshire Cat smile, all the while twisting the knife, because they know what they did. They played a shell game today. They tried to play you that listen to talk radio and those of us in talk radio as suckers. They are artfully trying to paint the debate that this debate is over. Look, it's a goodwill gesture. It's an olive branch. We want nothing to do with the Fairness Doctrine. We, as Democrats, almost universally, with the exception of 11 of us, stood with the Republicans and said, we don't want the return of the Fairness Doctrine. But if you don't mind, we'll just slip in what Durbin had to say. Public interest, public good. Actually, I find this to be more dangerous. This is more dangerous and more nefarious because now, do you know what I see? This is what I see. Congressional hearings, subcommittees, Mark McGuire, Barry Bonds, A-Rod, commissioners of baseball being summoned to Capitol Hill. Let me tell you something. I want a front row seat if Michael Savage or anyone else is summoned to Capitol Hill to testify before these losers. I can't wait to be there. Because that's precisely what I see coming. They will now begin to try to measure on a case-by-case basis based on complaint by complaint, and they will come by community agitators at every major city across the country. They'll petition the federal government, and then they'll have a preponderance of evidence that will be stacked in front of them. They'll have to summon presidents, CEOs, local managers, local program directors of radio stations all across the country and hosts. They'll have to call them to Capitol Hill to testify before them to justify why it is their programming is in the public interest. It'll be a new march on Washington. It'll be a new march by Obama's army. It'll be a march on talk radio. Media matters on steroids, folks. That's what we're going to find with what this little amendment. Should it go any further? But don't kid yourselves, not for a minute. Stay vigilant and stay on top of it, as only the Savage Nation can, as only Michael Savage can. This is just beginning. It's just code word now. It's camouflage. It's not called the Fairness Doctrine, but Michael's been warning you. It is coming. It is an all-out assault. (800-449-8255) is the number. 800-449-8255. My name is Chris Stigall, sitting in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We'll be right back.
Savage.
The amendment that Senator Dement has written was not carefully written. It seems like a very general statement that shouldn't cause any trouble, but I'm afraid it does. Because after he goes after eliminating the Fairness Doctrine, he also includes any similar requirement that broadcasters meet programming quotas or guidelines for issues of public importance. Now, that's a problem. I don't know if he understands that as a problem, but it is. This amendment does more than ban the FCC from doing something it wasn't going to do anyway. Incidentally, nobody's talking about reinstating the Fairness Doctrine.
Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, the number 800-449-8255. Michael, thanks again for the invitation to sit in today. We are talking about two amendments that passed on the Senate floor today. Now, it's not law yet. Still got to go through the House. I mean, it's got a lengthy process to go through, but you can probably bet this will make its way through the House in some form or fashion and ultimately to Obama's desk, where that guy can't put his pen down and sign legislation fast enough. And there's a lot of other nonsense to get through today. But for those of us that do this for a living, for those of you in the Savage Nation that count on Michael Savage to give you truth, this was one step closer, although masked and camouflaged quite artfully by Democrats today, this was one step closer to achieving what it is they'd like, and that is to shut shows like this down. Now, I want to read to you the specific language of the Durbin Amendment today. We're talking again about the Durbin and DeMint Amendment. Senator DeMint, South Carolina, a Republican. Dick Durbin, the Democrat from Illinois. You just heard him there. No one was talking about the Fairness Doctrine. We had no intention of bringing that back. Well, that's their game. No, they're not going to use that term. They don't figure there's any need to rile up talk radio and its listeners right now, not when they've got the power in Congress. Why would they do that? Don't misunderstand. They're going to do it. They're just not going to do it blatantly. They're going to do a little shuck and jive on you, and that's exactly what happened today. Here's how the Durbin Amendment is written. This is what passed the Senate today and will probably ultimately go into law. So again, remember this when you hear. This is so important. When you hear tonight, and you will hear it on the evening news, you will see it in headlines tomorrow, Fairness Doctrine struck down by Senate. You know, the Fairness Doctrine is dead. And you're going to get people around you saying, well, there you go. You're talking heads on the radio. We're all panicked for nothing. You conservative crazies, look at you all out there sweating this over nothing. Well, here's the amendment that passed today. Amendment number 591. Here's the language. To encourage and promote diversity in communication media ownership. Encourage and promote diversity in communication media ownership. Now, what do you think that means? And I'm telling you, Savage Nation, and those of you that program radio stations, and those of you that own radio stations, and those of you that carry this broadcast, I am warning you, the burden is on you. It is not on Michael. It is not on the listeners of talk radio. And I hope Michael will forgive me with taking liberties with this microphone tonight, but I'm telling you something. This is going to be on radio station owners. If they value talk radio, its profitability, its usefulness, its necessity right now, if ownership of media and radio values this format and values the Savage Nation, it is now time they step up. Because I'm telling you, if this does not send a cold chill down the spine of everyone that owns radio stations, everyone that invests in broadcasting, when you hear the government write they wish to encourage and promote diversity in media ownership, here's the second half, to ensure that the public airwaves are used in the public interest. Awful gray, isn't it? Awful gray when Democrats write it and are in total control for the next 2 years. So, with all due respect to the folks that own, run, and operate radio stations and radio companies across this great country of ours, it's time for you to lawyer up and step up. Because frankly, I'm a little sick and tired of talk hosts having to carry the water. Because they're coming after you. Don't you doubt me. And if you thought radio had a problem now, wait. So the DeMint Amendment is, yes, it does effectively say it will prevent the Federal Communications Commission from repromulgating the Fairness Doctrine. That's the official language. It was passed overwhelmingly today. And you'll see that. Wow, 87 people in the Senate, all these Democrats said they'll ban the FCC from bringing back the Fairness Doctrine. Well, don't rest on that, because tied to this same bill was the Durbin Amendment. And you just heard that language, frightening, chilling language. It's a long way from law yet, but I don't think it's too far off. Let's go to San Francisco. Cherie, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Michael tonight. Hi.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for taking my call. I'm an avid listener of Michael Savage, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity. And this week I'm angrier than ever, angrier to hear all these things that are so true and us as a fellow Americans that are doing absolutely nothing about it.
Thanks for the call, Sherry. Got to take a break.
Savage.
This is the bloody shirt. That term, a political term, came about after the Civil War when people would come to the floor and try to inflame passions. And they said, you're waving the bloody shirt of the war. Stop that. Let's have a rational conversation. Well, the right-wing broadcasters on their side, conservative broadcasters, have been waving this bloody shirt of the fairness doctrine for months. They love this. They've set up this kind of false choice here that you're going to take away the right of free speech, and they're trying to impose a fairness doctrine. Hasn't happened. Isn't going to happen. And I'm not trying to make it happen.
Well, that is the one of the most cowardly individuals in Congress, little Dickie Durbin of Illinois. Talk radio is waving the bloody shirt. I find that choice of words very interesting from that thug. By the way, my name is Chris, in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation, and Michael, thanks for the opportunity to allow me here tonight. Interesting that he would choose war terminology and bloody shirt. This is the guy that has repeatedly used our troops for his own political backdrop in times of war, is it not? The guy's had a few classics, I believe. I don't know, fellas, maybe we can dig those up. As I recall, for all the bloody shirt waving he suggests talk radio has been doing about the fairness doctrine, I think this SOB has actually used our men and women, our dead men and women, our heroic men and women, for political gain. I believe he's called the murderers. Hey, Dick, you want to hear what bloody shirt waving sounds like? Let's take a listen to your own bloody shirt waving.
Not only was the temperature unbearably hot, but extremely loud rap music was being played in the room and had been sensed the day before, with the detainee chained hand and foot in the fetal position on the tile floor, end of quote. If I read this to you and didn't tell you that it was an FBI agent describing what Americans had done to prisoners in their control, you would most certainly believe this must have happened by Nazis, Soviets in their gulags, or some mad regime, Pol Pot or others, that had no concern for human beings. Sadly, that's not the case. This was the action of Americans in treatment of their own prisoners.
Who's waving the bloody shirt, Dick? His amendment today that passed the Senate encourages and promotes diversity in communication media ownership and ensures that the public airwaves are used in the public interest. So let's talk about public interest, shall we? Let's talk public interest for a little bit. What's in the public interest? Is it in your interest to know that the Dow is down again today? Another 88 points? The stock market is in a literal free fall? Is it in your public interest to know that? While Obama enjoys record popularity, apparently, that's the way they're reporting it, huge popularity. Is it in the public interest to take a little bit of the shine off and realize that the markets are in a precipitous free fall? People with money are pulling it and running with it and sticking it in their backyard and coffee cans as fast as they can keep it. Is that in the public interest, Dick? You see, I would submit that talk radio right now is doing more to serve the public interest than maybe it ever has in its history. Because never before has this country been under greater assault from people like you, who have total control over all branches of government. And the only light of truth to be shown on what it is that you're doing, these lies you're telling, this dangerous, reckless spending, this deficit spending that will lead to us very soon pushing wheelbarrows of cash around for loaves of bread, Dick. I'd say now more than ever, we're serving the public interest. Dr. Savage is one of this country's great defenders of the First Amendment, Dick. And I suppose that's what you'd like to stop. You'd like to put a stop to that. While Michael defends the First Amendment, while Michael defends the Constitution, while Michael defends free market principles, Dick, your Congress, your president, within his first 100 days are swiftly trying to rob us all of everything based on his popularity, a wink and a smile and a television speech. And because any of us dare in the minority to speak out on a radio station, now suddenly we're not serving the public interest. I thought dissent was such a magical thing. I thought when you likened our troops to Pol Pot and others, I thought when you were on the Senate floor waving your bloody shirt, Dick, that was just being patriotic. I see, but when we dissent, when conservatives relegated to the minority have a microphone, we're now considered unpatriotic, I suppose. We're now un-American. We're now no longer serving the public interest. So serving the public interest is what, Dick? Shaking our pom-poms like Blitzer? Like Larry King? David Gregory? Take your pick. Any of the talking heads on TV? Anyone in any editorial board at any major newspaper across the country? Because we're not in line with everyone else in the media, Dick? We're not serving the public interest? Is that it? How much media do you need? Your guy's on TV 3-4 dozen times a day, and seemingly, according to polls, every time he appears on TV, he gets more and more popular, despite the realities, Dick, that the stock market continues to plummet. People with money that create jobs loathe what's going on, fear for our future, and the only place you're hearing it, Dick, is here. But maybe that's why we're not surprised. Because we're not conformists. Because we're not standing in line to lick your boots. And praise your ideas of socialism. Nationalized health care. Nationalized banks. You just like your will, blindly imposed. You'd like no plan of yours to ever be scrutinized. And we're just supposed to shut up and sit down and like it. Some very famous people have risen to great power with that formula. I commend you for your efforts so swiftly, just a month into a new administration. Well done, Dick. Dave's in New York. Dave, I'm Chris in for Michael. This is the Savage Nation. Hi.
I would like to tell that the same thing was in the Soviet Union and for former Soviet Union. They said one thing, and they're doing another thing, and they're hiding under the words. That's number one. Number two, I believe we already faced the soft revolution, which Lenin predicted that it could be soft revolution in capitalist country. I believe we already have a soft revolution, change of power, and we already train already gone. I mean, it's already done deal. Now they want to shut that up and do whatever they want to do.
Dave, if you'll forgive me, I obviously notice you have a bit of an accent. Where are you from originally?
Former Soviet Union.
Are you telling me? And the reason I ask, Dave, is because I believe I can just hear in your voice you bring a very unique and personal perspective to what we're talking about today.
Yes. This is the same thing happened, and we witness in the Soviet Union when the leaders saying one thing, very nice words, but they doing total different thing, meaning they are hiding under the nice words. A lot of people believe that they're going to do what they're saying, but it's opposite, total opposite. And the second point was that in the United States, which is, I hate to say, but we probably faced already soft revolution from capitalism to socialism.
Dave, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Dave speaks what he knows to be true. Dave's lived it. You know, it's fine for you and I to pontificate, but Dave's lived it. And every time I've had the privilege to fill in for Michael here, I hear from wonderful people like Dave who came to this country thinking they were escaping the nightmare that was the Soviet Union or China or Cuba. All these international folks that listen to the Savage Nation for the pure freedom of it are now seeing what they left behind slowly creep into their world here. And I know they are just as saddened as we. Absolutely the smartest audience on the radio is the Savage Nation, without question, because you see it and you know it, and you're made up of such a vast tapestry of history and personal knowledge. Houston, Peter, I'm Chris in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hey, Chris. As I'm sure you know, the Fifth Amendment lets the government take private property for public use. And there's a Kelo versus City of New London case out of the Supreme Court a couple of years ago that equated public use with public purpose or public interest. And what I see is by calling the airwaves public property and saying they should be using the public interest, the government's opening itself up to just use the power of eminent domain to take over broadcast outlets.
Well, Peter, listen, and thank you for the call. It's a very valid point. And we need to discuss. It's high time we all sit down and discuss, have a real discussion. What is considered public interest and public use and public airwaves? Is the land you sit on public, technically? Eminent domain, he's absolutely right. In so many ways, air and the airwaves is no different than the real estate in which you sit, where your business is located. I mean, it does happen to business. There's no reason it can't happen to the airwaves. It was never intended for this. The Federal Communications Commission got into the business of, and it's a very, very simple formula. Anybody in broadcasting that has any understanding of history understands how and why the Federal Communications came to be in terms of radio frequencies. It never, ever was an establishment of content control or monitoring. It was purely and only established to monitor and regulate frequency control. Radio stations have frequencies. Some are stronger, some are smaller. Some have to power up in the morning, some have to power down at night. It's a bunch of dull inside jargon that I'm not going to bore you with, but the bottom line is radio stations have to kind of respect each other's boundaries in terms of their signal. It's why at night sometimes you can hear stations from far, far away, because they've got these huge signals at night. Other stations have to bring their power down so that these larger signals that were there first can be heard. I'm oversimplifying it, but the basic case I'm making here is radio airwaves are regulated by the government purely for the interest of air traffic control, if you will. Just as people sit in a tower and monitor planes coming in and out of airports, that's what the government's designs initially were created to do with the broadcast of radio airwaves. But it's been perverted over the years, and little Dickie Durbin is attempting to pervert it once again. It's not just to be managed in terms of competition. It's now to be managed in terms of content, public interest, the public airwaves. Science and technology managed to harness this magnificent technology so many decades ago, and government somehow stepped in and saw it an opportunity to control the content that came across this great technology. That's perverted, it's backwards, it's muddied, it's typical government. It is not what it was designed to do. But I'll tell you something, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying this. This now gets bigger than Michael Savage. It gets bigger than you listening. It now must fall. This is a war, and don't you doubt me, this now must happen. At the local level, every radio station across the country, if you have a favorite radio station in your city that carries your favorite radio program, The Savage Nation, I am telling you, it is on that radio station and that radio station's owner to stand up now and fight this thing. Because if they sit back on their haunches and wait for the government to tell them what kind of regulation awaits them, radio will do what so many other industries do. They'll fold like tents. They have no intention of trying to placate Dick Durbin and monitoring and regulating what is fair and what is not. What kind of content must they offer now because Michael Savage is viewed as this kind of content? Radio stations don't have the time or the interest in doing it. And what I fear is slow action, slow corporate action by radio ownership is ultimately what is going to lose this fight. And it's beyond me why we've not heard yet from radio, corporate radio leadership. It's all been on the talk hosts. The talk hosts, frankly, that are making corporate money right now. Radio, just like every other industry in the country, is suffering in tough economic times. But that said, talk radio is flourishing. The Michael Savage Show, flourishing. Talk radio makes money because talk radio is where truth is found. And people with money that believe in the free market, the last bastion of truth and freedom, is found on talk radio. That's why talk radio is profitable. That's what's keeping many radio companies afloat. And for the love of all that's good and holy, I cannot for the life of me understand why corporate radio ownership is not prepared to stand up and battle here. Drug companies lobby. Car companies, Lord, we know car companies lobby. I want to know when radio is going to stand up and lobby. I'm tired of it being on the guys that are making your money. It's time for you to do a little work for us. And your listeners, most importantly, your listeners. Because we're it. 800-449-TALK, 800-449-8255. Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, talking fairness doctrine, talking public airwaves and public interest and what's in the public interest, as Dick Durbin said on the Senate floor. As they ban the fairness doctrine today in the United States Senate, and you think, oh, well, whew, dodged a bullet. No. No. It's a shell game, and don't buy it. You're going to hear that, I promise you, if you haven't already. Your evening newscasts are going to say, and into tomorrow, newspapers are going to say, fairness doctrine dead. And for people not paying attention, they'll think, well, there you have it. There's nothing to it. No, no, no. Something far more sinister crept in today. A little amendment offered by Dick Durbin, making certain the government can get in there and see to it that the public interest is being served on the public airwaves and that proper ownership is evenly distributed. No, no, we've yet begun to fight. Eric, San Francisco, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm in for Michael today. My name's Chris. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Chris. I'm a former radio reporter here in San Francisco. I am a radio reporter. I was laid off on September 12th. Before I became a radio reporter, I was a producer at the number one talk station here in San Francisco, the place where Michael actually got his first break. And I can tell you this, the guy I worked for, he loves the fairness doctrine. One of the reasons I believe he loved it so much is because his ratings, he's number seven in the market. And a guy like that needs all the help he can get.
You know, that's precisely right. That's why you got these stooges, press and others, that they cannot win ratings on their own competitive fronts. It's been tried. I mean, the ownership has tried to put this liberal dreck on radio, and it's floundered miserably. There was an entire station, for Pete's sakes, owned by the Skins ownership, Snyder, in D.C., called Obama 1260. He tried it for 3 months, and it floundered. It flopped. It was nothing but lib programming back-to-back. And by the way, on that point, and Eric, thanks for the call. On that point, radio is vast. The signals are constant. They're infinite. Radio signals can pop up everywhere, anywhere. There's plenty of bandwidth. And I speak again to my colleagues in radio, those at the senior executive levels. You want to know a little something? A very viable, thriving, lively format in talk radio still exists. You've got an entire FM band pumping out music that kids are loading up on their iPod that's a fossil. Why don't you take some of those? Put your libs on the FM music stations. Leave us alone. There's plenty of room for everybody. We're not afraid of freedom.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
President Obama has said, while on the campaign trail and in the White House, that he doesn't support reinstating the Fairness Doctrine, and neither do I. You'll find no mention of the Fairness Doctrine on the White House website. You'll find no effort to reinstitute the Fairness Doctrine in my amendment.
That's why the radio freedom, the freedom of the press, talk radio, bloggers, cable TV, all these alternative media that are going around the New York Times and the other liberal press and taking the truth and the facts to the American people is something that we have to protect with our lives here in Congress. The Broadcaster's Freedom Amendment that will be added to this tomorrow is critically important to what we do here. And I urge all of my colleagues, don't buy these lame arguments that it's not germane to this constitutional debate right now. Don't buy this argument that it's not relevant because no one's bringing it up. Because we've seen what people can sneak into bills that we don't get a chance to read. We need to make it a law that the FCC or this Congress cannot implement any aspect of the Fairness Doctrine.
Well, that is a real American hero and one of the last conservative voices, in my opinion, in the United States Congress, Jim DeMint, an actual leader. A legislator actually interested in standing up for our freedoms. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. My name is Chris Stegall, filling in for Michael Savage tonight. Michael, thanks again for the invitation to be here. And I thank you for listening. 800-449-TALK is the phone number, 800-449-8255. This cannot be said enough. It's a very important day. And I apologize if this show or this subject matter seems too self-involved or too self-important, but I presume you're here and you make an appointment with Dr. Savage every afternoon or evening, wherever you may be, because you care about the show, you care about his opinion, his perspective, and his information. And today, a very subtle, very craftily camouflaged amendment by Dick Durbin, senator from Illinois, was tucked unbelievably into a bill to allow the District of Columbia voting rights in the House of Representatives. This is how very dangerous and sinister things happen very subtly in our legislature. And the only thing telling you about it is talk radio tonight. That is, of course, why we are so dangerous to the Dick Durbins of the world, talk radio. Michael Savage is a threat. Michael Savage is dangerous. Michael Savage does not operate in the public interest, apparently, because he has, these shows have, I have the audacity to tell you what it is they're doing to our country. When everyone else will just simply report this as, the Senate killed the Fairness Doctrine today. If you're just joining us, I want to tell you that that is what you're going to hear tonight on the evening news and in the newspapers. The Fairness Doctrine will not be restored. In fact, you're going to hear the Senate overwhelmingly defeated the idea of the return of the Fairness Doctrine. And again, for people not paying attention, they'll think, whew, well, look at that. That wasn't so hard. I guess Obama was telling the truth on this one. They're not interested in the Fairness Doctrine. Look at that vote, 87 to 11. Oh, it's coming. It's actually a little more sinister because it's so much broader. Durbin's amendment. And I read it again to you because you have to understand this is how the creep begins. His amendment today, which passed the Senate, it's not law yet, but tucked into a bill to give the District of Columbia rights to vote in the House of Representatives, this was tucked inside it. An amendment to, quote, encourage and promote diversity in communication, media ownership, and to ensure that the public airwaves are used in the public interest. Now, I said going into the top of the last hour, I asked the question, with all the FM music radio formats out there, and I ask this of people that own and run radio stations all across this country, they're not making money. Let's be candid with ourselves. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of room on the AM dial. There's plenty of room on the FM dial. There's a lot of garbage on the radio. There's a lot of room for all of us. There's more room for all of us. And so I invite private institutions that own radio stations, I invite you to step up. I invite you now, if you're so confident, if you're so willing to be bullied and bulldozed by the government, if you're content to sit and wait until Dick Durbin and the others come at you federally, call you up to Capitol Hill and testify, because you're next. I'm telling you, you guys in corporate radio, hear me now. I feel blessed and privileged tonight that Michael's giving me this microphone, because I can tell all of his affiliates, and he has hundreds of them and millions of listeners. You folks, talk show hosts, we're all, you guys listening to this show tonight, and all of us that broadcast on the radio, you know who really can win this fight, who can take it to the street? The guys that actually own the broadcast content. The guys that actually profit from the sales made on shows like The Savage Nation. So they have a decision to make. Are they going to wait till they're summoned to Capitol Hill like the oil companies were? And beaten and savaged? And made to justify why Michael Savage and other conservative talk show hosts are in the public interest? Are they going to wait to be drugged to Capitol Hill to quantify their programming and their content and try to justify what is fair, what is not? What's in the public interest? What is not? What's liberal? What's not? What's conservative? What's not? What's independent? What's not? Do you think this can't happen? We saw it happen. We're seeing it happen. Baseball, football, oil, banks. The American people have got to take notice here. Yes, that's sure. That's for sure. And you have. Talk show hosts have too. But private companies are under attack here. And now it's radio. The public sector is in charge, at least still in the country I live in. But this is a fight that has to be fought. Be it radio stations, private jet manufacturers, the travel industry. It's time to stand up. They can't beg and plead. These people elected to Washington, D.C. are public servants. They serve us. I and the talk show hosts like me, at both the local and syndicated levels all across the country, work for private companies. And we earn our living doing this. And the American people do not want to see the private sector bullied. They want courage. They want people to stand up. Talk radio is popular because talk radio hosts don't beg. We don't plead. We stand up for the Constitution. We stand up for people, for the taxpayers. Our taxes pay these people's salaries that are going to drag, and mark my words, they will drag corporate radio heads to Capitol Hill soon. These people in D.C. work for us. People in the travel industry get it. They're starting to wake up. Do you see this letter today that's floating around online? Walt Disney people, the Carlson people, the Fairmont Hotels people, the Hilton people, the Hyatt people, Marriott, Starwood, Wyndham, and on and on and on. All the presidents and CEOs of all these hotel chains have just written a letter. As executives of some of the nation's largest hotel companies, we understand the pressures economically that have caused many companies to reduce business travel as part of broader cost-cutting measures. However, we're concerned that legitimate meetings, business events, recognition travel are now being portrayed as perks and symbols of excess, and consequently, many large groups, including those not receiving government assistance, are canceling business meetings and events because they fear being criticized. Make no mistake, they write, these decisions have serious economic consequences. The Labor Department reporting nearly 200,000 travel-related jobs lost in 08. Commerce Department data predicting 247,000 travel-related jobs lost in 2009. And the number may grow, write all these executives of the travel and tourism industry, if this rhetoric is not toned down. It's not just private aircraft. It's not just the decadent trips. It's not just the banks. It's not just the oil companies. Now it's corporate radio, too. And those of us that are on the airwaves. This is white hat, black hat stuff, baby. It is time. Saddle up. Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Savage.
Senator Leahy has a proposal, Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and which is a good idea. What I have some concern about there is it has immunity. I think that some of the issues involved here, like the politicizing of the Justice Department and the rest, may have criminal ramifications, and I don't think we should be giving them immunity.
There she is, the San Francisco treat, Nancy Pelosi, patting Leahy on the back. She wants to go after the Bush administration. She thinks the best items of business to be tackled right now are dragging the former Bush administration back up to Capitol Hill and testifying, crucifying, locking them up. Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Michael, thanks for the opportunity to be here this evening. She has been on a roll herself, the sickening sweet smile of Pelosi behind Obama there as he was giving the joint address. I don't know what they say, 50 million some people watched that sideshow. Was that nauseating to watch that woman up, down, up, down, up, smiling? And I don't know if that's the plastic surgery and Botox or if that's she's truly that stupidly happy. I mean, just when it's inappropriate to smile, it's sinister looking to me. She and that Cheshire Cat used car salesman, Biden, back there, just smiling, grinning. That smug, inappropriate grin that just reeked of we're in power. We're in power. We're in power. Had nothing to do with what he was saying. Just drunk on the power. And so they're just saying the most unbelievable things right now, and they can because they're getting away with it. So while they talk today on the Senate floor about a need for talk radio to be sure it's serving the public good. Did you see the Pentagon is now lifting the media ban on the coffin photos? Our flag-draped war dead, our heroes coming home dead. Defense Secretary Robert Gates Thursday saying he's lifting the ban against media photos of soldiers' coffins returning to the United States and will instead leave that decision up to families. Now, may I ask you something? One of your brave men, I know there are many, many members of the military and those that have loved ones serving in the military. God love you and thank you for the work you do. But should anything ever happen, God forbid, to a loved one in combat, or had anything ever happened to you in combat, I've never understood this about anything, about anybody. Even on the local news, tragedies happen and news crews come rushing to your front door. Your instincts are to say, sure, throw that camera, stick a microphone in my face and throw that camera on my dead son. Go for it. You bet. Normal people I know retreat into a private dignity and a quiet grieving period. It's the crazy, mentally ill Cindy Sheehans of the world that want to take their war dead heroes and parade them out like some sort of commercial. I don't understand this. This sort of sickness, this is what's so amazing to me. They're using the media for two entirely different and equally sinister things here. This administration, this Congress, this new regime has in one day come after talk radio and opened wide as they can the door to parade our war dead out in front of television cameras for political purposes. They want to create that Cronkite-esque Vietnam thing all over again. They love that. They pine away for those days. Put a little Arlo Guthrie in the CD player and let's roll. Pelosi, by the way, saying today, if it were up to her, she would have raised taxes on the wealthy to fund the health care plan for Obama faster. Quite frankly, I'd have done it faster. Noting the phase-out of top-tier tax breaks will take years to complete. It's not about raising taxes, Pelosi said. It's about ending a tax cut. This is also something that only the demented say. It's not about raising taxes. It's about ending a tax cut. Now, what's interesting about that statement? Whenever Republicans want to talk about, or conservatives want to talk about, getting a hold of spending, reducing spending, so often it means spending less. Not cuts, spending less. What do Democrats call it? Cuts, cuts, cuts to programs. They always call it cuts. Now they're trying to do it the other way. Word games, words, words, words. It's not about raising taxes, it's about ending tax cuts. Okay, well, we'd like to reduce spending. Well, no, 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 you can't cut the programs. See how they do it? In fact, there was a Gallup poll taken just this week. Nationalized banks. They asked the public this. Do you favor nationalizing the banks? Overwhelmingly, nearly 60% of the public says no. I don't like that word, nationalizing. Gallup did the same poll, changed it to, do you favor a temporary takeover of banks? Back they came with overwhelming support. Yes, word games, words. There has never been a more artful yet dangerous delivery of word games coming out of Washington, D.C., as we're seeing right now. And the only thing standing between you and it is talk radio, and they know it. That's why we're dangerous to them. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Chris Stegall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, the number 800-449-8255. Very interesting day, frightening day. Look, we're all watching Barack Obama with every move he makes, every time he opens his mouth. The people of this country who work, who produce things, they're getting killed. There seems to be no, and I don't mean literally. Well, not entirely true. Did you hear this today? He intends to leave 50,000 troops in Iraq. He's sending 17,000, as Michael's been telling you. Unbelievably, here's a guy who ran on such an anti-war platform, and now the Democrats are mad at Obama today because he's leaving 50,000 troops in Iraq, and he's sending another 17,000 of our men and women to Afghanistan. And the wackos in Congress are mad at him. Harry Reid, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, they're furious. They've run to the press today demanding answers. Why aren't you pulling every last man, woman, and child out of the Middle East right now? Well, he's not. He's doing quite the opposite, isn't he? So I suppose people are literally getting killed. But here, stateside, every time he opens his mouth, the stock market plummets. Stock's down again today. IRAs, did you have them? College funds, did you have them? Do you? Pensions? Mutual funds? Great speeches, beautiful speeches. Unless you've got money in the market, unless you're any part of the private sector. Every time this man speaks, he robs us of wealth. But somehow his approval ratings go up, and you're going to have to explain it to me. Is it purely because of the press? Is it because he gives a beautiful speech? Explain to me how this is. Which is going to win? I mean, if we see the market take a precipitous free fall to like 2,000, what rules the day? Honestly, if the private sector continues to get hammered and hemorrhages and hemorrhages and hemorrhages and takes losses in your mutual funds and your stocks and your pensions and your IRAs and your college funds, and you just keep losing money every time he speaks, you keep losing money. How long are we going to hear the "what a beautiful, eloquent speech" commentary from all the talking heads on television. How long are we going to hear about his popularity and how beautiful his speaking is and how refreshing it is to have such an intelligent, well-spoken, articulate leader? How long are we going to have to listen to that while we lose our money? Because they aren't compatible. They are mutually exclusive happenings. You can't be in love with a man who every time he speaks literally robs you of your wealth. So I have to believe the popularity he's experiencing out there is exclusively from people that have no money in the markets. I don't know the statistical breakdown, but I just have to believe that the only people that put this man in power and continue to support and love him are people that A, pay no taxes, and B, have no real money in the private sector whatsoever. And there must be enough of those people in this country that they really don't care that you're losing money hand over fist every day, every time he speaks. They don't care. He's promising them money back. Most of them don't even pay a substantial amount, if any, taxes at all. So what do they care about you if you're losing a little dough, a lot of dough, half your dough? What do they care? The populist thing sells really well when you have very little money and you're not paying taxes. But I can't understand it for the life of me. I can't. Another down day on the market, 71.82 at close today. People are losing well over half now of everything they've got invested somehow tied to the market, and this guy's popularity is soaring because he gives a pretty speech. Explain this to me, please. Let's go to Virginia. Brandon, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Michael. Brandon, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Take it away, sir. Fine, thank you.
All I want to say is I'm a junior in high school, and I don't see how it's that hard to believe that none of this is going to work, this stimulus plan that he's putting on. At the same time, Japan probably not going to buy our securities. We have, I think it's $900 billion in securities up for Japan to repurchase, and this $900 billion, if not going up to $1 trillion package, is going to cause hyperinflation. I don't see how the American public cannot see this.
Brandon, I don't mean to sound condescending here, but did you say you're a junior in high school?
That's right.
Now, two things strike me. Is it a public high school you attend, or are you a private guy?
It's a public high school, and I've taken, I think, roughly almost a semester and a half of AP Economics.
What is it about people your age, a voting age for the first time, and you know, you're around them. I don't even know if you could vote in this last election or not, Brandon, but the people that you went to high school with, and I'm sure you're surrounded, if not exclusively cornered, by nothing but kids that think Obama was the cool guy to vote for. What is it like to be someone that speaks as articulately as you do and has a working understanding at this age, at this point in your life, when people twice and three times your age, Brandon, they don't get it? What is that like? Because I got to tell you, you inspire me tonight.
It's sickening, and it's become this the liberal media, and it's so... It's almost as if they want to poison this country, and I'm surrounded every day. We get into debates about this, and no one looks to the other side. I mean, every now and then I even turn on the liberal media, and it's hard to watch. And I feel sad for conservative talk show hosts such as you and the Savage Nation if this fairness doctrine is going to be brought back. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, I'm out of words to really describe it. It's just...
Well, I got to tell you something. It was young voters. I don't have to tell you this, but it was young voters, and frankly, a lot of people who were shuttled and paid off to vote for this guy that put up inexperienced and very highly radical leftist in power. A lot of your friends, I'm sure, and people that you went to school with. But Brandon, I have hope. It's guys like you that give me hope, and I don't know if it was your parents or your own interests, whoever it was that had a hand in you paying attention to the world around you at such an early age. God bless you. You keep that up, and just keep soldiering on, man. I'm glad you called the Savage Nation. Thank you for the call. Steve's in Sacramento next on the Savage Nation. Hi, I'm Chris. Steve, good evening. Welcome.
Can you hear that?
Steve, you there?
Yes.
Take it away, buddy. You're on.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
I'm appalled at the American people believing the lies of this man who I can't even call him my president. He is so phony. Everything he said has been a lie. from transparency to special interest groups. What is wrong with this country? Are they so blind they can't see this?
Steve, he says it very well, doesn't he, though? He says it well. We're suckers for great speeches, aren't we, Steve? I mean, everybody, thanks for the call. That's the fact. We're suckers for great speeches. How many, look, and I'm not saying he did anything magical. I'm not saying he was a fantastic-looking speech, but Bobby Jindal, who gave the Republican response. There's nothing wrong with Bobby Jindal. He's every bit the American story Michael Savage is, or Barack Obama claims to be. He had inspiring stories to tell. Now he clumsily delivered it. And what did we hear? What did we hear from even people on our side? Oh, he looked sophomoric. He looked awkward. We're simps. We're suckers. We're stooges. We fall for pretty words and speeches. This country is swayed by snake oil salesmen. Obama never ran a damn thing. Bobby Jindal's resume, Sarah Palin's resume. I'm sorry. I mean, I realize people have their differences about people like these, but I'll tell you one thing. These people at least have run a state. George W. Bush, for all his faults, he ran a baseball team. He ran a state. I mean, shouldn't that alone trump a guy that gives a great speech who's been in the Senate for 2 years? This isn't hard for me to understand, but we're suckers for a pretty speech. And boy, he gives a great, and you hear it on TV all the time. What a nice change. What an elegant, eloquent man. How thoughtful. Every time he says, that's all the guy, he can't answer a question without, long pauses. You know what that's called now by the press? Thoughtful. You know what it was called when Bush was doing it? Dummy. Empty. Stupid. Obama has no track record as a governor, and I guarantee you if he had one, his state would be in disarray, like Schwarzenegger in California. You know what I'm talking about, Californians. That's why senators almost never get elected to the White House. There is no track record. But it didn't matter this time. Well, we didn't have an option, did we? Two senators. You knew it was going to be a disaster when it got started. But hope and change ruled the day. People should not get hired. And in the private sector, people don't get hired with no track record. But Obama didn't need experience because he was special. He was different. Well, the marketplace does not think Obama is special. Look at the stock market. They don't buy it. It's in the toilet. The people that still make this country run with the money, the people that will employ those that think they're about to get some government cheese from Obama, the people that can actually put people to work in this country don't buy it, they don't trust it, they're being bullied, and they don't like it, and the stock market continues to fall. But he gives a pretty speech. Let's go to Bud in Virginia. Bud, I'm Chris in for Michael on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Oh, Chris, I'm enjoying the show tonight.
Thank you.
What I don't understand is why do people fall for this rhetoric over and over and over again that the government is the answer for the problems and that they're going to create jobs? The jobs are created by the private sector, and if you, especially small businesses, if you tax them if they make over $250,000, they're going to do nothing but lay people off, and then the problem is compounded even more. The guy don't get it. I'm listening to the stock quotes today. It's dropped again. Here I'm wanting to retire in 3.5 years. Keeps going. I'm not going to be retiring. I'm going to be working until I get in the grave. I'm just sick and tired of it. I wish the American people would step up and say enough is enough.
Bud, thanks for the call. 59% is the headline today. Still believe government is the problem. How's that possible? Rasmussen reporting today, 59% of U.S. voters agree with Ronald Reagan that government is not the solution, it is the problem. How's it possible? How does 60% of this country believe government is not the solution, it's the problem. Yet at the very same time, Barack Obama supposedly has these stellar approval ratings. People love him and can't wait to see what he'll do. And he's ramming legislation, this flurry of legislation to nationalize health care, to literally bankrupt factories by making a greenhouse gas, a toxin, out of carbon dioxide. Nationalizing banks, he's doing it all, education, he's hijacking the government in the first 100 days, and he's doing it all because he gives a pretty speech and he's popular. Yet somehow, people instinctively know, when asked, government isn't the way. Yet somehow, the American people are still suckers for a pretty speech. Well, we didn't have much of a choice, to be fair, and let's be very clear about that. The Republicans absolutely stunk in the fall. They offered no real options. And quite frankly, they're still not. I've never seen more low-hanging fruit and more opportunity for conservatives like Jim DeMint to step up and really take this and run. And instead, what did they do? You know, I've seen these simps, these idiots on TV, the Republican Party, these morons getting on TV. I actually heard the House leadership, Eric Cantor, the other day on TV. Someone asked him about the Porculus bill. You know what Cantor said? Ah, well, that was then. You know, we've got to look forward now. That's behind us. It's not enough that we educate and teach each other through talk radio about what's going on, what Obama's about, what socialism about, what nationalism is about, or nationalizing our banks. It's not enough that we teach and we talk about it and we discuss it and we wring our hands and we shake our heads. There's got to be some kind of organized leadership to push it back. And right now, it's as though the public opinion, the popular winds of change are blowing, and the Republicans are just kind of kicking back in a Barca lounger and soaking it up rather than taking it head on. I mean, I don't want to sound like a martyr, because I know Dr. Savage does not. I know the heavy hitters in talk radio don't do this, but I'll say it. As a guy who has the privilege to fill in, I will say these guys, these men and women, some of your favorite nationally syndicated hosts, are carrying a burden on their shoulders right now all by themselves. They don't have allies in real leadership in their government. And quite frankly, their ownership is no more supportive at the corporate level. And that is why I ask you to stand with them and stand tall and stand behind this medium. Because right now, it seems to be the only thing left still standing tall for America. 800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Gall, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Michael, thanks so much for allowing me to be here this evening. And michaelsavage.com, the website where you can read the latest. Michael's posted it up there, the latest story, the assault on free speech. It's not going to be called that. Tonight you're going to be hearing reports that the Fairness Doctrine was defeated overwhelmingly in the Senate today. Literally, that's true. Technically, it's very untrue. Little Dickie Durbin of Illinois added an amendment to a particular bill, which has some very interesting language. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about public good, public use, public interest on the airwaves. What is that exactly? I would argue that's exactly what talk radio is doing. Serving the public interest. Providing opposition to a sea of nothing but pro-Obama as the markets tank. 800-449-8255. Let's go to Frank, Houston. Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Chris, what's not to like about what he says? What is not to like about what he's saying? He's indoctrinating the majority of all these people to rely on the government to solve their problems, to bail them out. Anytime somebody fails, it's, oh, it's okay, Johnny. The government will take care of you. You can't buy a house? I will take money from Joe down the street and give it to you so you can afford a house. He's indoctrinating people to understand.
Yeah, what happened? What happened to the era of people? And this was certainly the case in my parents, my grandparents' age. What happened to the era of people that almost felt ashamed when they had to admit or needed a government handout or would sooner steal than take a government handout? Where did that go? Where did we turn a corner on that?
To take care of you. It's just crazy. And
Frank, thanks for the call. That's a question I have. Where did we go wrong there? When did that happen? When did government assistance not become shameful, but rather something you came to expect? Jade's in Sacramento on the Savage Nation. Jade, I'm Chris in for Michael. Hello.
Chris, I'll tell you where that came from. It seems like we have lost that in our society. I don't know if our parents had spoiled all of us and we have given our kids everything for entitlement that they think that that's the case. But I am so angry that I don't know where to start. The stock market's down. I watched the address. Nancy Pelosi is as cunning as a fox. And it's so depressing. I think it's
or a salt harvest mouse, I guess. Maybe cunning as a salt harvest mouse or whatever it is she wrote into the bill that she said. Yeah, Jade, I know. I know. You know, we're all feeling the same frustration. And the only thing you can do is hope that some sort of vocal, articulate opposition rises up. But right now it's a lot of stupid shucking and jiving from this Michael Steele, who apparently thinks he's going to outcool Obama to victory in 2010. I don't want Billy D. Williams, Steele. I want leadership and conservative principles, thanks. I'll have my Colt 45 on my own. Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
See a little diversity for a change. We have an African American president, a female speaker of the House, and there's the white guy, Bob.
No. This is Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. What's more awkward, the fossil with legs and the Bob haircut, or the fossil named Bob with her? Which is more awkward and pathetic? Watching the two of them, the awkward silence. They don't even get their own lame humor. Talking about Obama's joint address to Congress. You know, the number 800-449-TALK, 800-449-8255. again, the market down 88 today. Stock market closed. It's in a precipitous free fall, and I wonder how low it's going to go. Like the limbo. How low is it going to go? How many pretty speeches? How many giggly Katie Couric's, Bob Schieffer, the old relics? Ha 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 ha. Isn't this a pretty picture? Isn't this historic? How much of it do we sit through? When do we wake up? The markets get it. Investors get it. Small business owners get it. The free market private sector is, frankly, forecasting disaster under Obama. Financial markets look forward. And I don't care how this man is spun. I don't care how eloquent and articulate and handsome he appears to be, and I don't care how beautiful his wife is in her sleeveless gown, and I don't care how cool they are, and what kind of cocktails they drink, and what kind of parties they throw, and whether Hannah Montana is playing a concert for their girls, and whether they have some Republicans over for drinks and convince them to vote a certain way, and isn't that bipartisan because three Northeast Republicans had a couple of drinks with him and decide to side with him. I'm tired of all that. I'm sick of it. There's only one thing that matters. If you work hard and save your money and invest it, and you plan to retire with some, or you plan to send your kids to school with some, there's only one thing that matters, and it's sure as hell not him. It's the markets. And the markets look forward. Real-time information. You want a predictor? You want to look at the future? You want the magic eight ball? The financial markets look forward. And the markets, every day, these idiots in the Obama administration, these agitators from the hood, every time they open their mouths, the markets race for the bottom. Every day, all we hear, they flood the airwaves. And I've been thinking about this. There is so much information to absorb right now, guys. There is so much to talk about. I do this for a living, and I am so inundated. Every day, two, three, four times a day, I was talking with some people about this today. I said, have you ever seen someone hold more press conferences? And a friend said, it's by design, of course. And it hadn't really occurred to me. Maybe it did you. Obviously, he's got to get this done with speed. The country loves him. The press loves him. So he's got to hurry. So he's having three, four dozen press conferences a day. Then his press secretary comes out. Then Geithner comes out. And they're throwing these obscene numbers around. Billion here, trillion there. Healthcare this, education that, cap and trade this. They never give specifics, but they talk in big platitudes. They throw out giant deficit numbers. And they just leave it in your lap. And while they've got control of Congress, they're going to ram it all through. And it's up to us to try to sift through it all. But the fact of the matter is, they promised massive debt, they've promised massive tax increases, and those are the tools, the building blocks, of authoritarian central planners. They are laying the framework of total and complete control. They want to control markets. They don't want to grow them, they want to control them. They want to control the message. That's us, that's me, that's Dr. Savage. They want to control the radio. They get control through regulation. They get control through higher taxes. Obama is a master at doing both. And right now, the country seems to be lapping it up because he gives a pretty speech. But we see who he is. Michael's been telling you for months who this man is, who he was, and who he is now. Well, this is all you need to know. And Obama's no dummy. He's got to strike while he's riding high. That's key. The speech through the uprights. Deceptive, full of lies, but man, was it smart. Was it sharp. Bernanke came out earlier that day. Do you think that was an accident and said, oh, I think, assuming everything works here, we'll be out of this by the end of the year. He said we'd be out of this by the end of the year. So what happened? The stocks ticked up a little bit before the markets closed that day. Then Obama opened his fat mouth and started slapping private enterprise around. And guess what? Next morning, markets open, down they went again. Oh, this country's going to be transformed. Don't doubt it. And not for the better. A lot of naivete and ignorance. Elected a likewise leader. People who don't pay taxes and have no investments in the marketplace now run the show. They have no skin in the game. They'll just take some of yours. And the worst part is we had a doddering old moderate for a candidate who still didn't fare too badly. Because that's how dangerous so many of us saw this man to be, Barack Obama. The doddering old moderate still hung in there with a shot, unbelievably despite himself, He hung in there. But it wasn't enough. And I wish I could tell you I was hopeful that there were conservatives out there that got it. I wish I could tell you there was some sort of organized movement that got it. But Republicans, to me right now, let's be candid, it looks to me like they did the obligation nomination in Michael Steele. Looks like we made a signature token appointment, and now we're going to try to outcool the cool guy. Obama's a cool black guy. Hey, let's put on our own cool black guy. He has a great suit, shirt, tie combo. He's cool. Our guy's cool. Look at that. You think they'll buy it? That's what I see. And I don't care if you don't agree with me. That's what I see. Steele seems like a nice man. I don't doubt he's not. I'm sure he's a decent guy. But I'm telling you, there are people all across this country that don't get it in power. Republicans that are still holding on that don't get it. I've talked to a few of them. They're seeking higher office in a couple of years, some of them to the Senate. Some of them had intimate involvement in the run-up to that initial bailout bill, that TARP bill that Bush and Paulson and Bernanke shoved through fraudulently. So many of those people voted for that in a fit of panic, including Obama, including McCain. It's what cost McCain the election. And most of them don't get it. They don't get that you're mad about it, and they're not going to apologize for it. So I wish I could tell you that there was any kind of establishment leadership in Washington, D.C. that still held to principled conservative values. I don't see it. The old adage, we're going to have to burn this village in order to save it, I think is in order here. And for all the talk that Sarah Palin's not polished or Bobby Jindal looks awkward or juvenile or look like he's giving a valedictorian speech and not a rebuttal speech to the president, for all the talk of these people that look like they're unqualified to lead, well, they're running states. States, by the way, that are refusing government bailout money. They have executive experience. What's the street agitator got that we call president of the United States? A hell of a lot less. And as far as a report card, well, I don't need to look any further than the stock market to tell me how he's doing. So you can quibble and argue with me about giving him a chance, and it's too early, and how do you know? Well, my kid's college fund knows. My retirement knows. My mutual funds know. And we're 30 days into a four-year stretch. Whew. Get out the wheelbarrows. We'll need it for all the cash we'll have to haul into the grocery store to get the loaf of bread. Chris Stegall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Savage. Chris Stegall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Michael, thanks for the invite tonight, and thank you for being here at 800-449-8255. The new budget proposal on the books works out to be about $11,833 per every one of us, every American, man, woman, and child, $11,833 apiece we could each receive from the federal government. This budget that was just proposed today, $1.75 trillion deficit, $25,573.48 per taxpayer, 9,000 earmarks. We're talking about a guy that ran on tax cuts, proposed a $1 trillion tax hike. We're talking about a guy that promised full transparency and is rushing legislation so fast, not even the people voting on it can read it. The highest ethics in government continues to hire tax cheats and frauds that have to resign in disgrace. But he gives a good speech. Waiting patiently, Texarkana, Texas. Terrence, I'm Chris, in for Michael. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Thank you, Chris. I'm calling because it seems everybody misses the central issue. There's commune Nazi, Marxist, pragmatists running everywhere. The issue is a government without the Constitution is not the United States. And when they operate anything outside of the constitutional confinement, you have no United States. You have gangsters everywhere. And that's what we see, that's what we have, and that's why we are where we are.
Well, listen, Terrence, look, the Constitution is a document, and Obama, remember the tape? I don't know if you remember this or not. And guys, maybe you can help me with this. I'm struggling. I remember the tape that surfaced about him. Thanks for the call, Terrence. Obama from this is the guy that taught constitutional law, okay? So if anybody should understand the Constitution, Obama ought to. And remember just before the election, some tape surfaced of him discussing the Constitution, rights therein. He found it all very moldable, very sculptable. The Constitution is something he found negative liberties therein. You remember that term he used, negative liberties? That was always very interesting to me. I mean, we did everything we could to alert you. And I say we being talk radio, to alert you. That this is a guy that believed the Constitution was full of what he called negative liberties. We need a Constitution that gave positive liberties. In other words, your right to socialized medicine, your right to a mortgage you could afford. Those are positive liberties. He views the Constitution as inherently negative, punitive, holding you back. He'd like the Constitution to distribute positive liberties, like candy. So yeah, you're right. He's very well aware of the Constitution. He just thinks it's wrong. Yet he says he embraces Lincoln and the Founding Fathers. He's a phony. This guy is left of center of Carter. He's the left of LBJ. He claims to be Lincoln and Reagan, and he gets away with it. Why? Every talking head on TV, including Fox, they're all spinning the same tune. And now what do they want? Fairness doctrine, framed as Dick Durbin's little amendment, not the fairness doctrine, but something else. That's what they want, to reframe the debate. Empower their voice, weaken ours. Propaganda. It's all part and parcel of his belief system. That's Saul Alinsky. Rules for radical stuff, man. This is textbook. How about the tax cheat, Geithner? Comes out today, beats up the bankers. Tells us banks need to lend more. They say they want more jobs back. Then they attack business. Oh, but we like him. We got to like him. We hope he succeeds. It's so early. It's so soon. He's only been in 30 days. Chris, give him a chance. We like this guy. He speaks so well. Isn't it nice to have a thoughtful president who speaks so well? Give him a chance. Well, why? He hopes the private sector fails. His tax-cheating IRS Treasury Secretary rolls out and beats up the private sector today. He hopes the private sector fails. He's literally rooting it on. He hopes talk radio fails. And I'm supposed to sit here and kiss up to him? You seen bank stocks? They keep plummeting. Why? They don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't know what's in store for them. Where's the tax cheat? It's been weeks. Where the hell is he? This is supposed to be the smartest man on planet Earth, remember? We had to put the tax cheat in office because he was the only guy on planet Earth that could fix it. He hasn't said a damn thing, and the banks are freaking out. This Geithner's just hiding. And anytime they're questioned, they act like petulant little children who demand you stand behind them because, hey, I give a nice speech. I'm just a nice guy. I look good. I'm hoping change, man. Get on board the bus. And the media covers. Everybody in the media but talk radio. Of course, they're trying to shut that down.
to that extent as radical as I think people tried to characterize the Warren Court, it wasn't that radical. It didn't break free from the essential constraints that were placed by the Founding Fathers in the Constitution, at least as it's been interpreted, and Warren Court interpreted it in the same way, that generally the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties, says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but...
Yeah, and that's a bad thing. The Constitution, that's exactly right. The Constitution is a document that lays out exactly the boundaries between the individual and the government. And Barry hates that. You heard the contempt for it in interviews like that. You heard this leading up to the election. And those of you that listen to talk radio, you knew all this. But it wasn't quite enough. Because he gave a pretty speech. Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. Dr. Savage, thanks for the opportunity to be here. Be sure to check out michaelsavage.com. Also want to let you know that, as Michael's been telling you, now that little Dick Durbin there in Illinois has proposed his own amendment in a piece of legislation today on the Senate floor that passed the Senate and probably will make its way to the president's desk, a little amendment that, in effect, is the Fairness Doctrine, just not called the Fairness Doctrine. And don't, again, I'll reset this, don't believe for a second when you hear, and you're going to hear this tonight if you haven't already and into tomorrow in the newspapers and in the news, that the Senate struck down any potential for the Fairness Doctrine to come back. Literally, that's true. The term Fairness Doctrine, as instituted by the FCC, was voted down today in the Senate with a caveat. A little Dick Durbin amendment, which was very, very craftily written. It's up there for you to read at michaelsavage.com if you'd like to research it, but this has not gone away. It is not over, and don't you buy for a second. Oh, we're not pushing the Fairness Doctrine. There was no interest. We had no interest in that. There was never any discussion of it. Look, we're all going to vote it down right now. Look. Interesting. I mean, the first thing that should tip you off is, why would nearly every Democrat but 11 of them line up and vote, yes, we'll abolish the Fairness Doctrine permanently? Oh, that was easy. Gosh. That was nice of them. I guess they really don't mind conservative talk radio. Guess Michael Savage isn't really a threat to them after all. No, wrong. They're just calling it something else. Again, michaelsavage.com. It's the top headline there today. But I wanted to pass on and let you know about a fantastic organization, and I know Michael's talked about them too. The Thomas More Law Center has stepped up and is partnering with Michael, and as this goes forward, and as the need arises, the Thomas More Law Center has promised to engage in a full-throated defense of talk radio, most specifically Michael Savage. And I thank them personally as a talk show host and as a fan of the Savage Nation. And I know you do too. And if you'd like to get involved or read more, I know you can go to Michael's website as well, michaelsavage.com. All right, back to the phone. Let's go to San Diego. Diana, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Michael tonight. Hi.
Thank you, Chris. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Chris, you wanted to know earlier how we arrived at where we are and the mass of people in the United States not knowing what's going on. I mean, it started with the social engineering and the dumbing down of America. The masses are running everything, the clerks, the people that don't pay attention to anything. They are the ones that voted this guy in. I will not call him president. He isn't worthy of the word. I'm tired of the demagoguery, the rhetoric every day, all day long. He's in a news conference on the television, on the radio, and people are feigning. Or how about the coverage of the Gershwin Award for Stevie Wonder? He certainly is spending money hosting all of these parties.
Oh, look, the guy can throw a mean party, Diana. Absolutely. Thanks for the call. The guy throws a wicked party. You bet. This guy parties morning, noon, and night. In fact, I have every reason to believe that his henchmen do all the business because he's got partying to do. Michelle Obama brought the press in today to take a look at the spread, to show off all they had before their feet. Look at our riches. Look at these people. She couldn't wait. It's all these people do. Come to the house. Come to the White House. Let's have a party. Let's have a wine tasting. Let's have a cocktail party. Let's have Hannah Montana come perform for the kids. Every day's a circus. Hey, let's hop on the jet and fly to Chicago for a dinner. That's a regular carnival ride for old Barry. Meanwhile, every morning he takes to the mic and holds a press conference about some corporate golf junket that some private company has as a bonus or a benefit structure for some of their employees. I mean, a lot of nerve. This guy's got a ton of it. But he's got a mandate. He got the whole world in his hands. That's what he figures. And right now the numbers seem to bear it out. The press loves him. Everybody loves him. He gives a great speech through the uprights. Yahtzee. To Washington, Jeremy. You're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Michael. Hi.
Downward spiral that we're talking about began in earnest when it was accepted that a fundamental truth was, regardless of how they came about or what they are, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And that's not true.
When do you think that came to be? Recently?
Oh, it's been going on for a long time. FDR started it with our social service, social security ideas, and it's just gone worse and worse from there on. This country was
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So this country was founded by individuals, and in no other part of the world do those individuals have as much power, and it should stay that way.
You know, Jeremy, you said something very important, and a friend of mine reminded me of this tonight, as a matter of fact. Question, has there ever been a president that was so wildly personally popular, but the policies that he continued to enact failed and were rejected over time? Who was that? You've already mentioned him. FDR. Of course, Jeremy, thank you for the call. FDR, same deal. This guy, take a look at his policies. I mean, yes, stellar popularity, but the policies were a disaster. World War II saved his keister. That's it. If not for that war, he'd have gone down as one of the country's worst presidents, period, stop. Which does cause one to wonder. A promise of 50,000 troops in Iraq and 17,000 more headed to Afghanistan? Just tossing it out there for discussion. Let's go to Kansas City, my hometown. Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Michael. Hi.
Hi, Chris. I'm a liberal. I'm not just a liberal. I'm a humanist, and I would really like to see more liberal humanist radio on the airwaves. But even with that, I couldn't support something, especially after listening to talk radio. I couldn't support the fairness doctrine because it's the government getting involved in the marketplace of ideas. Now, I would like to see more ideas in the marketplace, but after listening to talk radio, I had to change my mind on this issue. Just based on the arguments, like people like you, the government shouldn't be involved with a doctrine.
Well, look, I mean, you're honest enough to disagree with me, and that, you know, that's the thing. People that feel they've got to legislate things, Jerry, and don't you find this to be true? Even if you and I don't agree on a thing that we talk about here tonight, don't you find to be true that if you're at least concrete and confident in the things you say and that you believe, you don't have to bully? You don't have to scream. You don't have to yell. You don't have to legislate your way into the debate or into the public square. You can speak with confidence. You can seek out a venue and an avenue to be heard. And you and I can agree to disagree. And I think talk radio allows for that as it is right now, Jerry, don't you?
Well, to some extent. But, yeah, I'm confident in my ideas. I believe that I can form ideas and I can support the ideas, yes. I believe that my ideas could compete in the marketplace of ideas. It doesn't need government help.
And so do you think that people, these hosts, you know, you hear these liberal hosts that are saying, hey, my show didn't work in said city because I didn't have equal footing or equal billing or I didn't have the advertising. I heard a liberal host recently having a debate with another conservative host, and he said something to the effect of, well, I didn't have any marketing. Well, I didn't have this. Well, I was at a disadvantage because of that. And his ratings were just poor. And he'd had 3-4 months on the air, and the show just didn't work. And he was making all these excuses why it didn't work. And that's, you know, Jerry, that welcome to broadcasting. It's tough. It is throat-cutting tough. And the patience is thin. And people in this business work without a net. That's why Dr. Savage is such a phenomenal broadcaster, really, because what he does, what he's managed to do, is climb to unbelievable heights in a business that has no time or patience for people to climb and rise. You don't, in this game, Jerry, in broadcasting, people must understand you are given very finite periods of time to succeed. It isn't as though you can come on the air and do it for years and years and years, and then hopefully maybe suddenly you'll find an audience. In larger cities across the country, you're given literal weeks, if not a few months, tops. And then you're out. So you've got to be good. You've got to be something people want to listen to, and it's got to happen quickly. And time and again, Jerry, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not slapping you, I appreciate what you said, but time and again, people that have similar thoughts and ideas, as you've expressed you have, just aren't cutting it in radio. But I thank you for the call. I really do. And look, if you want to get out there and share that word and you think you've got a message, you can, frankly, you can even buy time. Do you know how easy it is to buy time on radio? Trust me when I tell you there are radio stations all across this country that would love nothing more. You get a couple of people to sponsor you. This is how you do it. You want your own radio show that you think is stellar? Find a couple of people. But, this is the trick. This is the trick. I just stumbled across this. Have a seat. Take this in. What do liberals want to do? They want to legislate their way on a radio. Why? Because there's no money in it if they did it by themselves. Because when they provide programming in the free market, advertisers run, listenership doesn't happen, or vice versa. Listenership doesn't happen, then the advertisers run. Because when it's all said and done, advertisers are in this game. They don't care so much about the message. It's whether the messenger is being heard regularly and widely. But do you know most radio stations across the country that air talk radio probably have holes in their weekend programming? And do you know what? They would love nothing more. You could come in. Find a sponsor in your area to pay for your show. Go in and host a weekend show. Give it a shot if you think liberal policies, liberal talk would work. But you know the problem, the struggle you're going to have? Liberals don't entertain on the radio. They don't inform generally. They just spread propaganda, and they want to use radio to indoctrinate. They don't critically analyze anything. They don't explain why their position is good. They just explain why you ought to embrace them. And I'm telling you, people will not spend money to back it. There's so much money being made in talk radio. The free markets love shows that stand up for them, and that's what talk radio does. It's not a loyalty to party or positions or politics. It's a loyalty to truth. Advertisers get huge results with talk radio that's truthful. And liberal talk radio cannot make money. It's not making money. But believe me, if you want to try, go out there and find a sponsor that'll spend some money. It's not going to last long. Somebody's going to listen. And that sponsor's going to get wise quickly that this may not be a working formula. There's plenty of room. There's lots of room on the radio. But the threshold for success is quite high, and the time is limited. Liberals want infinite amounts of time, infinite amounts of marketing dollars. With time, give them time, give them time. 800-449-TALK, the phone number, 800-449-8255. Chris Stigall, in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Savage. Chris DeGaulle in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Michael, thanks very much for allowing me to be here today, and thanks very much to you for listening at 800-449-8255. Straight to the phones till the top of the hour here, because a lot of you have been patient. I appreciate that. Jerry's in North Carolina. Jerry, I'm Chris in for Michael tonight. You're on the Savage Nation. Hello.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Fine, sir. Thank you.
A shout out to Michael and Teddy. I hope Teddy's okay, and Michael both. I hope it's nothing wrong with either one. But anyway, I wanted to let you know the reason I think the talk shows on the conservative side are a little more educational to the public. And I think the other side, they don't want the people to, they don't want to educate the people. That's always been the way it's been for a certain kind of leadership. They don't want the masses to understand how the government should work in that, and how capitalism works. So, and also, I guess religion maybe too. In this case, maybe this thing is supposed to also take off Christianity and religion off the airways, and that too is something that we have to fear. It looks like because I've heard this in the past Christmas, different talk shows. Certain ones commenting, liberal commenting on Christianity, kind of ruining my Christmas a little bit sometimes hearing it. But anyhow,
listen, Jerry, you know that's another point that I don't think we address very often. But how secular it is, it seems, all of this discussion. To me, a little humility would be lovely at a time when the country's at such a crossroads, and the secular nature with which all discussions and all solutions come from this White House is. Well, it's part and parcel. Again, it doesn't really surprise us, does it? But I would love to hear a little faith-based humility come out of this White House right now, because I think ultimately for so many of us that are believers of whatever stripe, that's what will help get us through. But I honestly don't know. I don't know what Obama clings to. He throws the proverbial God bless America in at the end of his speech, but I've never really heard the man and talk in terms of his faith. And the only thing we know about his faith, the only thing concrete we know about his faith, is a 20-year affiliation with a pretty nutball pastor. That's all we know. So I don't know. If that's not important to you, I bring it up because you bring up faith. And, you know, it's important to me. And I'd love to know who the leader of the free world really holds close to his heart. Is it himself or is it something higher than him? And who is that? I think that's important to know. But, you know, we got the good reverend who opened up or closed the inaugural ceremony. You know, the red man can get a head man, and the white man will finally do what's right. And, you know, it began from the beginning all over again. Jerry, thanks for the phone call. Boston, Jim, I'm Chris, in for Michael. You're on the Savage Nation. Hello.
Hey, Chris. Nice to be on the Savage Nation. I've actually, I have to, confession I have to make. I actually been watching CNN now for, I don't know, a year or 2 years kind of going into election. And I turn on the Savage Nation now because I commute all the time. And at first I said, you know, it just sounded like somebody ranting and raving, you know, sound like a right-wing nut. But after listening now for the last 3.5 weeks, he has really converted me into a fiscal conservative. And I sort of see the wool that's been pulled over my eyes now with the liberal media.
Well, Jim, I know he's going to be thrilled to hear that because, Michael, you know, Michael is not, and I think you know this by now, Michael is not loyal to party. You know, he's not pom-pom shaking for Republicans. Frankly, they're just as embarrassing as Democrats. And the guy's a straight shooter. That's what makes him one of the most popular hosts in the entire country, Jim. I know he'll be happy to hear it. Thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Orlando. Dennis next on the Savage Nation. Hi, Dennis.
Chris, thanks. Good evening. I have been feeling real powerless and tempted to just check out of the political process since January 20th. But I want to urge you and Michael's audience not to give up, because conservatives still have this power left. We can still contact our congressman when he or she votes wrong on an issue. We can still contact them when they vote right on an issue. That's important, too, to give them positive reinforcement. And less than 2 years from now, every one of the 435 seats in Congress is up for election again. 36 senators are going to be elected in 2010.
Dennis, and the ultimate question is going to be, will the free markets and the stock market, which is tanking on a daily basis, will the marketplace or the popularity contest rule the day in 2 years? It will be the ultimate test of this nation's population.